on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has responded to claims made by Deputy Mark McSharry about a written complaint received by Fianna Fáil. Over 1,000 Ukrainian pupils are currently enrolled in schools in Donegal. Concerns have been raised over what appears to be rust in water pipes in parts of Buncrana. The Gaelic of the Letchkenny Milford Municipal District believes additional supports need to be rolled out for businesses to cope with rising energy costs. And a draft residential zoned land tax map of Donegal has been published today. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First news though, the Taoiseach has strongly rejected claims made by Deputy Mark McSharry about a written complaint received by Fianna Fáil. A spokesperson for Micheál Martin says they have received the TD's resignation from the party and wish him well for the future. Earlier, the South Donegal TD confirmed his resignation and launched a stinging attack on the Taoiseach. Mark McSharry claimed Micheál Martin failed to allow due process in a bullying claim made against him by a local councillor. 1,059 Ukrainian pupils are currently enrolled in schools in Donegal. That equates for 8% of the total number of Ukrainian children attending schools across the country. In Donegal, 692 students are attending primary schools, while 367 are in post-primary schools. According to the Department of Education, as of November the 1st, a total of 12,544 Ukrainian pupils have been enrolled in schools across Ireland. Concerns have been raised over what appears to be rust in water pipes in parts of Buncrana. In Columbus Avenue, Rockview Terrace and Greenham Park, cast iron pipes are still in place and residents have raised concerns about the quality of water due to the presence of what is claimed to be rust or other debris in the pipes. Irish Water say the water quality in the area is okay. However, Nicholas Crossan believes the pipes, which have been in place for around 80 years, need to be replaced. Councillor Crossan says the utility's response is totally unacceptable.
These pipes are cast iron pipes, so it's just over 80 years old. They are built up with residue over the years that there's with rust and other debris. So in my opinion, although Irish Water are saying that the water coming out of these pipes fit EU directive for drinking water, I contested that and I wrote to Irish Water at the end of August this year. I got a response in the middle of September to say that the drinking water was under the EU directive. Okay, I'm saying it's not, and these pipes need to be replaced.
And what areas in particular then in Buncrana are mainly affected?
Well, the pipes that has to be scoured on a regular basis is Columbus Avenue, Rockview Terrace, Green and Park, just to name but a few places. Most of the pipes in Buncrana was replaced with the Buncrana Town Council going back over the years. But these are places that, for one reason or another, have slipped through and not been noticed on this until the residents have been bringing up. So I'm asking and calling Irish Water now to replace these pipes and give these people the service and the clean drinking water that they need. The water is dirty because it's picking up rust and other debris from the pipes. And the salt, not only for drinking water, but for washing machines and kettles and all like that. They are domestic appliances. It's not good. It's not good for the people's health in this area. And Irish Water have to get this sorted out sooner rather than later.
A pensioner who fears she may never get to return to her home says she is frustrated with how the council treated homeowners whose properties were flooded in Burnfoot. Much damage was caused to properties in Park and Greenan in August 2017. Homeowners have been unable to return home since and they have been told it could be another 4 years. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Kathleen Malloy claims the council completely gutted the houses affected.
You know, it's the frustration of the way the council treated us with that flooding. That's what's getting to me. That's what's the other part of the, you know, the Loisin and Greeny part. Those people are all living in their houses. You know, there's people that are living in houses that are falling down with mica. The council put us out of those houses the day after that flood when we were all in shock, told us they would do up our house and we would be back in by Christmas. We'll never be back in those houses. What's seriously wrong is that the day after, or the 2 days after the flooding, when everybody was in shock, the council came in, they cleared out the bottom of our houses. A contaminated toilet bowl out of the downstairs toilet, the radiators up the walls, the doors, the very curtain poles. Now the flood was high, it did not reach the curtain poles over the windows. They cleared out everything. They made those houses that we couldn't get. As I said, they promised us Christmas. I had a friend at the time, a businessman in Carindonagh, rang me and he said, well, we'll come and power wash your house. We couldn't because we didn't own the houses. We were renting the houses. But like our contract, nothing made any difference. The council just came in, took over, destroyed everything. That's why we're not in our houses.
The Foreign Affairs Minister says another election in the north this year would be unnecessary and unhelpful. The deadline for forming a power-sharing government passed last week, meaning the British Secretary of State for Northern Ireland is obliged to call an election. However, Chris Heaton-Harris is yet to set a date for the second election this year. Minister Simon Coveney, who met with Secretary Heaton-Harris today, says the British government has to make a call.
There really are only two options here. There is a legal obligation to set a date for an election, or else there will need to be new legislation to avoid an election at this time. There'll be ongoing discussions between myself and the Secretary of State in the coming days in the context of those choices.
Donegal is lagging miles behind in terms of the delivery of social houses in rural areas. That's according to Councillor Martin McDermott. He is calling for a review of the building of social houses in the county. In particular, Councillor McDermott says there doesn't appear to be a will from Donegal County Council to develop social housing in rural parts. He says people are being driven into larger towns due to the lack of accommodation, and as a result, local schools and community centres are suffering. Councillor McDermott says the council needs to review policies to ensure the delivery of dwellings back into rural areas.
When you take the rural areas in this county, we're definitely lagging behind when it comes to social housing. We haven't, as a council, put an emphasis on social housing in rural parts of Donegal, particularly here in Inishowen. Over the last 10 years, that is coming to bite us now because we have situations in rural parts and our schools, the numbers are falling, and our football clubs, the numbers are falling, and our community centres. And we as a council, even as a department of housing, haven't been interested in rural areas for the last number of years. And I think that the whole emphasis within the council needs to change, and we need to start looking at how we can deliver on rural housing and rural parts of Donegal, because, as I say, that hasn't been happening.
And as a result of not delivering social houses in rural areas, it is in fact putting additional pressure on the larger towns.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, if you look at what's been happening with a lot of the policy writing at national level, particularly the last 10, 15 years, a lot of the policy that has been wrote has been to deliver social housing in towns and villages, in particular larger towns and villages. And I think that has come to a stage where these towns are bursting at the seams. They don't have the social housing. They don't have, you know, the infrastructure to support the levels of people that have been driven onto towns and villages. And the big issue is here that we're losing all those families from rural parts of our county. Our rural schools are in real jeopardy in the next 10 years if the same policies that are driven are keep being driven. And I think as a council and as a local authority, I think here in Donegal, we need to stand up to this.
The Gaherlunk of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District believes additional supports need to be rolled out for businesses to cope with rising energy costs. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly claims some businesses are being forced to turn off fridges in a bid to curb costs. He says more support is urgently needed.
I see that in numerous places at the minute. Listen, we were told in the budget that there's going to be €60 million awarded for energy increases to address them and hopefully help businesses out. And listen, I feel, to be honest, although €60 million seems a big figure, I still feel it's not enough to help our businesses within the county and in our municipal district. And yeah, Michaela, I've been in numerous shops now, and you know, if you reach for a can of Coke or a bottle of mineral, You know, it's at room temperature. And, you know, this to me shows how the severity of this, you know, that businesses are struggling and, you know, they're having to go to the lengths of turning their fridges off. And, you know, that's something you don't want. I mean, our businesses are a very important part of every locality, and, you know, you want to see them thriving. And when you see the measures they have to go to turn off fridges, you know, that's a sure sign that they're struggling, you know, and that's something I want addressed. And, you know, I've asked that this be re-looked at, that we try and do our best for our local businesses and to help them through these very tough times.
A recent study has found that offshore wind energy presents a significant opportunity to generate substantial job creation and economic growth for communities along the Atlantic seaboard, which includes Donegal. The offshore wind feasibility study for the Atlantic region also found that the sector would play a central role in achieving Ireland's climate ambitions and enhancing energy security. Ellen Butler has more.
The study by Dublin Offshore found that by 2037, upwards of 5,000 jobs could be supported directly by the offshore wind sector, generating €400 million in gross value added annually to the economy. It estimates that 90% of future new build offshore energy capacity in the region will be floating offshore wind. Killybegsport presented strongly in terms of its capability to service the sector, and it was noted that the planned infrastructure developments would further enhance its capability. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Liam Blaney, welcomed the recommendations of the study, including the need for high-capacity grid connection. He says investment in technology innovations such as green hydrogen is needed to realise the export potential of Donegal's potential to produce multiples of the electricity demand.
A draft residential zoned land tax map of Donegal has been published today. It's part of the implementation of the residential zoned land tax, which will apply from 2024 to relevant land at a rate of 3% of the market value, with the aim of activating land for residential development. Landowners whose land is included in the draft map are being advised to consider if their land meets the criteria for inclusion and to make submissions to Donegal County Council. Cathaoirleach of the initial municipal district, Councillor Paul Canning, believes there needs to be more awareness of the tax, as some people could be financially impacted.
I ask that we have a meeting in relation to it, because I think the general public are unaware of the residential zone land tax. And any land that is zoned will be subject to a tax of at least 3% and maybe going up as far as 7%. And this will be collected by the revenue commissioners. And I think there's people out there that have land zoned that would like to de-zone them. And now is an opportunity, but we need to advise those people of this situation.
And as you say, people do need to be made aware, because they will face this huge bill and it will have a serious impact on many.
Yeah, we have at the minute, we have a 2-year lead in for land. And that 2-year has already commenced on the 1st of January of 2022. So what has happened now is we are putting together a draft plan. That draft plan will be going out to public consultation. People will get the opportunity to have their say. But a lot of these maps and plans, as that many going out, people do miss out on them. So I would like us to, in the Inishowen area, to actually get in touch with the landowners that may have property zoned, to advise them that this could have a financial effect on them from January of 2024. So it would allow these people to have an opportunity to de-zone their land that's already zoned in certain areas.
A draft map is available for viewing on Donegal County Council's website.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Munster scrum half Craig Casey will captain the Ireland A team that plays an All Blacks 15 at the RDS on Friday night. He forms a half-back partnership with Leinster's Kieran Frawley. Jacob Stockdale returns from injury to start on the left wing. Head coach Andy Farrell was asked what makes Casey captain material.
He's a natural leader, just the way that he handles himself on a daily basis, in and around everyone. You know, he's the ultimate professional. He prepares really well, and he's been in and around this environment for some time now. So the responsibility is a nice step in his journey as well.
Rassi Erasmus has confirmed he'll be back in the coach's box for Saturday's test with Ireland at the Aviva. The Springboks director of rugby had been banned from matchday duty following his video rant regarding referee Nick Berry during last year's Lions tour. And Munster have confirmed that RG Snyman will be sidelined until January. The province say the delay to the Lock's comeback follows a consultation with his surgeon regarding his knee injury. Elsewhere, Ireland captain Nicola Friday is among the notable absentees from the list of senior women's internationals signing professional terms with the IRFU. The union described it as a landmark day in women's rugby. Sam Monaghan, Niamh Jones and Christy Haney are among those not on the list. In soccer, Celtic are looking to end their European campaign on a high this evening. The Scottish champions are away to Real Madrid. That starts at 5:45 in their final Group F game. Any points are dropped, points by Real could leave top spot open for RB Leipzig, provided the Bundesliga side defeat Shakhtar Donetsk. Later tonight, Chelsea welcome Dinamo Zagreb to Stamford Bridge in Group E. And Manchester City complete their Group G duties at home to Sevilla. In the Championship tonight, there's six ties down for decision. The leaders, Burnley, there at home to Rotherham United, who Georgie Kelly plays for, of course. Elsewhere, Birmingham City play Millwall. Cardiff City play Watford. Huddersfield Town are up against Sunderland. Norwich City play Queen's Park Rangers. And Wigan Athletic play Stoke City. And no members of the WNL winning Shelbourne side have been nominated for the Player of the Year. On the shortlist are Piemont United's Anya O'Gorman, Wexford Youth's Ellen Malloy and Athlone striker Emily Corbett. Contesting the Young Player of the Year award are Shell's Jessica Stapleton, Athlone's Mirna Devaney and Buncrana's Emma Doherty, who plays with Sligo Rovers. Shell's back-to-back title winning boss Noel King is up for Manager of the Year, along with Athlone's Tommy Hewitt and Sligo's Steve Feeney. That award ceremony takes place on the 24th of November. And some other news cross-channel, one of the FA Cup's most iconic goal scorers, Ronnie Radford, has died. His 85th minute strike for Hereford at home to Newcastle in 1972 is one of the most recognisable and replayed goals in the competition's history. He was 79. In Gaelic games and higher education football action this evening in League Division 1, the ATU, they're at home to University Jordanstown. That game is been played in the Donegal GA Centre over in Convoy, as is the Higher Education Fresher Football League Division 1. ATU are also playing at Jordanstown in that one. Both those games get underway at 7:30 over in Convoy. On to horse racing, and trainer Wooly Mullins runs Kemboy in the first Grade 1 race of the season, the Ladbrokes Champion Chase at Down Royal on Saturday. Mullins won the very first running of the race back in 1999. It remains his only victory, but he has confirmed that Kemboy, a four-time Grade 1 winner who missed an engagement at the American Grand National, will represent him in Saturday's renewal.
Yes, he missed going to America, where the Shark won the American Grand National with Hoyk. Things just weren't right, so we said we'd wait and go to Down Royal. I'm praying for rain for most of my other horses, but not for Kemboy.
And he's had his two runs this season as well. Were they brought him on?
Yes, we got those runs into him with the anticipation of going to America. So he's fitting well, and if the ground comes up right for him, I think he'll be a big contender on the day.
Finally for this evening in snooker, Mark Allen leads Joe Perry by 2-1 in their Champion of Champions last 16 tie in Bolton. The winner will play Judd Trump in the quarterfinals after he beat Luca Brissell by 4-2. That's your sports. Back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a Remelton woman who works for the Just Stop Oil campaign says the group's actions have been making real change and is getting the message out across the globe. The campaign is now infamous for the throwing of tomato soup on Van Gogh's sunflower painting and scaling the gates of Downing Street. Amy Rose O'Donnell has been arrested 8 times for her involvement in the protest. She told today's 9 till noon show that there is enough oil available to allow for a transitional period.
People don't realise what our demands actually are. So first of all, as you said, it's quite clear we want to stop licensing for all new oil and gas in the UK. So what you say there is if, you know, if we went off it straight away, it would be chaos. It obviously would be. We can't just stop oil. But the thing is, we have enough oil to do us 8 years. We can wean off oil so easily and we can make a just transition for everybody.
Weather now remaining very windy or locally stormy throughout today. Southwesterly winds will be very strong and gusty, especially near coast with possible damaging gusts. Heavy or possibly thundery showers of rain and hail this evening with highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, the Taoiseach strongly rejected claims by South Donegal Deputy Mark McSharry about a written complaint received by Fianna Fáil. A spokesperson for Micheál Martin says they have received the TD's resignation from the party and wish him well for the future. 1,059 Ukrainian pupils are currently enrolled in schools in Donegal. That equates for 8% of the total number of Ukrainian children attending schools across the country. Concerns have been raised over what appears to be rust in water pipes in parts of Buncrana. In Columbus Avenue, Rockview Terrace and Greenan Park, cast iron pipes are still in place, with residents raising concerns about the quality of water due to the presence of what is claimed to be rust or other debris in the pipes. And a recent study has found that offshore wind energy presents a significant opportunity to generate substantial job creation and economic growth for communities along the Atlantic seaboard, which includes Donegal. The offshore wind feasibility study for the Atlantic region also found that the sector would play a central role in achieving Ireland's climate ambitions and enhancing energy security. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast or remain evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, November the 2nd. The death has occurred of Jim Deaney, Hythe, Kent, England, and formerly of West End, Buncrana. Funeral will take place in England at a later date. The death has taken place of Margaret McGinley, Lower Glasha, Gidor. Margaret's remains are reposing at her late residence. Rosary both nights at 8 o'clock. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to St Colm Kills Chapel, Knockfola, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private police from after the Rosary until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to RSG Door, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Ní Doherty, Moss Road, Chernaleague, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Lagmallon, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Aidan Gallen, late of 16 Barley Hill Road, Kilclean, Castlederg. Aidan's remains will repose at 16 Barley Hill Road from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castlederg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Michael Clare, 3 Park Nicol, Kilmacrenan. Remains will repose at his home tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 10 o'clock in St Columba's Church at Kilmacrenan. Cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan at a later date. Funeral Mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family time on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Nulla Patricia McGill of Glenbrook Terrace Derry and Legathraw, St Johnston. Funeral from her sister's home, 42 Buncrana Road, Derry, on Friday morning at 10:15 for 12 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Bethan's Church, St Johnston. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to the Alzheimer's Society, Seven Oaks, Derry. The death has occurred of James Callaghan, Jim, formerly of Eder Rowan Park, Derry. Fiona leaving Bradley and McLaughlin's funeral home on Friday morning at 20 past 10 to St Joseph's Church, Gallia, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Paddy Hegarty, 10 Lissowen Avenue, Buncrana. Remains reposing at his late residence. Fiona from there on Friday morning at 9:15, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in Coghill Cemetery. House private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. And the death has taken place of Eilish Hunter, née Hegarty, Drumney, Letterkenny. Eilish's remains are reposing at her late residence today until 10 o'clock and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Rosary both evenings at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards to New Lex Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.